We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by or through me." This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you today here on Exploring the Word. And we're going to talk about a subject today that the whole world needs to hear. Now, we try to do that every day, but this one is essential. Alex, when we talk about soteriology, better known as the study of salvation, we better nail it down. What does it mean to be saved?
Amen. Well, Bert, it's great to be with you on Exploring the Word today. And later on, we will take questions. By the way, if you want to call in later in the show with a Bible question, take down the number. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and we'll get to your Bible questions. But salvation, I mean, the most important question, am I saved? When I die, will I go to heaven? Am I prepared to meet God? These are the questions of salvation. We're going to explain it. But the technical term is soteriology, from the Greek word soterios, which means to save. And so, Bert, it is important to have our soteriology right. I mean, there are some things you can be wrong about, and you'll be okay. But when it comes to the state of my soul, and who is God, and how may I know God personally? That's the most important question of life to be correct about, isn't it?
It really is. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And that's what we're talking about. You cannot purchase it. You can't earn it. It is a gift from God, but it must be received. A gift must be received, and we're talking about that today, and we want you to know that. And you was talking about soteriology and the Greek word. The Greek word for Savior is soter. So it's the first part of that, which is the study of salvation, the study of what it means. Now, when we talk about saved and that word, we use it that way. A follower of Christ, it can mean many things. Are you a follower? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? But the whole world, have you come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? This relationship is one that you can have. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It is that kind of relationship. And Jesus would tell his apostles, "I call you friends." And so a friend of God, listen, that must happen in a relationship. It's not enough to know about Jesus, you must know him. And how in the world can you know someone that lived 2,000 years ago and yet know him today? It is the power of God through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit drawing us to himself. And so, Alex, it is possible for us in 2024 to know Jesus Christ personally as Savior and Lord. What a story to tell to the nations.
Well, amen. And actually, as Christians listening would concur, Jesus Christ is the most real relationship in your life. I mean, and to everybody listening, and maybe you know about God, you in your mind, you are aware of some facts about the Bible, but a personal relationship with Jesus is vital. Many times we've talked about Matthew 7, 21 through 24. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not testify in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many wonderful works? And Jesus would say, I never knew you. See, using religious language, you might know all kinds of words. You might say the blessing at the, town hall meeting or whatever, or say the prayer in public, or, you know, go through a lot of religious motions. But salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And fortunately, that can begin even today. For just anybody, we say it all the time, but Jesus is as close by as a prayer. And Bert, let me, speaking of salvation, let me reference, if I may, one of my favorite verses, John 6, verse 40. Jesus said, whoever sees the Son, S-O-N, the Son of God, whoever sees the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life, and I will raise you up at the last day. Now, to see the Son means to comprehend some things. Do you understand Jesus is more than just a good man? He is God incarnate. And he was not a martyr dying for his faith. He was a Savior giving his life on the cross. And so you understand that Jesus died for you personally because of a real need that you and I and all of us have, salvation. We need to be forgiven, born again, made alive. And Jesus said in John 6:40, to see the Son and believe on him, you will have everlasting life. Now, this word for believe is more than just a mental acknowledgement of a fact. It's you're not just saying, okay, I acknowledge there must be a God. No, it means a response. And Bert, for the gift of salvation to become effective, you have to receive that gift. For salvation to become personal, you have to respond. And Bert, that's not hard to do, is it?
It really is not, Alex. And that word, if you could put it in a form verb, faith in Christ. That we say put our faith in Christ, but the action is faith in Christ, believe, trust. And it comes at that point in time when the Holy Spirit has convicted you of sin, that you can't save yourself. And it wasn't just the sin of everybody else that put Jesus on the cross. It was my sin. It was me. I know the Roman soldiers were there. I know the Pharisees and the scribes, they were there, and they had it done. But it was me, because Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, and that we is Bert Harper, it's Alex McFarland, it's Bryn Austin. We, because of our sin, could no other way be brought right with God apart from Jesus Christ becoming sin and paying that price for us. Now, Alex, that process is called redemption. Now, let me give this, and then we'll take it away and come back, and we're majoring on redemption to beginning. But it is true, I have been saved. It's also true that I am being saved, and it's also true that I will be saved. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's use the words that the scriptures use, redemption. That is the point of salvation where my life, my soul, was redeemed. The price was paid by Jesus Christ on the cross, and it was accepted by the Father, raising him up on the third day. And I have received that. I ask him into my life, and that is he's redeemed me. But I didn't go to heaven straight after I received Christ as a 12-year-old boy, Alex. I stayed here, and I'm being saved. That is called sanctification. It comes from the Greek word hagios. It means set apart. It means to be made holy. God is working in our lives now, saving us continually. And yes, I am saved, and because I am saved, he continues to work in my life to bring me about to be more like Christ, like it says in Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the image of Christ. But it's not over. I will be saved. That's called glorification. One of these days, the whole thing will be over, and the Bible says that I will be in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in a glorified body, fashioned like unto his body, according to 1 John 3:2. So, Alex, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. That sounds like a complete, complete process, brother.
Amen. Well, like you said, process, because salvation is an event, but it's also a journey.
Good amen.
I mean, and I think about this. This may not be a perfect analogy, but it's like the birth of a baby. An obstetrician delivers a baby. A pediatrician helps raise the baby. You know, evangelism is like obstetrics. Discipleship is pediatrics. You know, believe in Jesus, be born again. That's an event. For me, I was 21 years old, and I prayed to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life and save my soul. But then the rest of life is also this wonderful adventure. And part of the reason, you know, Bert and I, you and I have talked about this, is if we say, look, put your faith in Jesus, get born again, if that's all we tell you, that's not really the complete message of soteriology. Yes, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's Romans 10:13. 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. But we would be remiss if we didn't really tell you the whole story, because salvation is not merely conversion, but it's also discipleship. You know, yes, it is praying and receiving Christ by faith, but it's also that for the rest of your life, you are to be a follower of Jesus. And Bert, let me just say this, and, you know, only God knows where everybody's heart is at, but I've been around the block a little bit, and I've shared the gospel with some people that in no way appeared to be a follower of Christ. Are you in church? No. Are you true to your wife? Well, not really. Are you living for the Lord? Are you bearing fruit? What's your spiritual gift? Well, how do you know you're a Christian? Well, preacher boy, 25 years ago, I walked the aisle one night at a revival. Well, that's great. That's super. But let me say this. The Bible says, examine yourself and see if ye be in the faith. And look, I know salvation is that moment you put your faith, your trust in Jesus. But if it's reality, there's going to be a changed life. And there's, you know, the old saying, consistency validates authenticity. Let me say that again. Regarding your walk, the fruit of your life, consistency validates authenticity. And Bert, I guess what I want to say is just reciting some words, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Salvation is more than that. It's a changed life resulting in a follower of Jesus. Am I right?
You're right on, Alex. You remember the Philippian jailer in Acts 16? Paul and Silas was still there after the earthquake, and he was about to kill himself because he thought that these prisoners would leave. Paul cried out and said, do yourself no harm. We're still here. He couldn't mm-hmm. believe it. He had heard them singing, because it talks about them singing at midnight, and I'm sure they were singing
praising God.
Praising the Lord. And he went to them, fell down before them, and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The answer was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That is salvation, and that's that word that Alex talked about earlier. It's more than head knowledge. It's more than you knowing about. It is a relationship. It is faith in Christ. It is trust in him, not in anything else, but trusting in Christ, in his work on the cross, that he paid that price for you. So the question is today, have you been redeemed? Has there been a time in your life where Christ became real to you and he came into your life and changed your life then and forever? Well, we're going to be back, talk some more about salvation, and you don't want to miss it. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bird here. Let me encourage you, that wonderful song by Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine, Surrounded by Your Glory, What Will My Heart Say? You know, Bert, I've been in a few debates at college campuses, and I've heard at times professed atheists will say something like, well, you know, there is no God, and I can do what I want in life, or something like that. Hey, let me say this. If you reject Jesus, not only do you lose out in eternity, you miss the very point of life. I think it's worth, in the subject of salvation, it's worthwhile to talk about what this world is and isn't. This world is not heaven. We're not in heaven yet. And this world is, of course, it's a context for, you know, meeting Jesus and discovering God's purposes for your life. But in many ways, this world is a workshop for the building of saints to get you ready for the glories and the blessings and the immeasurable wonder that is heaven. Bert, I think when we step into the presence of the Lord, everything we sacrifice for Jesus, everything we patiently endured, all the times we trusted God when, you know, walking by sight might have been, you know, appealing, but we just trusted what God's Word said. 1 second into the presence of God, we are going to know that it was so worth it, that every promise of God is true. And really, when we're in heaven in the kingdom of God, that's when life truly will begin. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree, Alex. And just talking about this world, listen closely, all of you who are listening. For the believer, for the person who is following Christ, has given their life to Christ, sold out to Christ, this world is as bad as it's going to get. And I know we're talking about it seems like it's getting worse and worse all the time. And I see that. I understand that. But we have heaven. But for the unbeliever, the person who said, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done all these miracles in your name? And he says to them, depart from me, I never knew you. This is as good as it gets. It's going to be horrible after that, a horrible pit, a fiery flame. Listen, a thirst that cannot be satisfied. Listen, heaven or hell, that is the choice. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we will be delivered to the place of peace and safety in Christ Jesus. And so, Alex, it is true. We are saved, but also we are being saved. Have you ever heard this question? And I'll ask it. What is the most important thing in a graveyard?
The most important thing in a graveyard, I have to confess, I don't know. The destination of the occupants, I suppose.
Okay,
right?
It's the dash. It's the dash. You know, okay. You go to a headstone and it would say, such and such was born on this day, and then they have a dash, and then they have, they departed the day of their death, the next. What is important? What did you do with your dash? Mm. You were born, but what did you do between life and death? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? And if you've trusted Jesus Christ, there's a process we call sanctification, being made holy. Let me read a scripture that I think sums that up. And Peter closed 2 Peter after he'd written 1 Peter, after he'd written 2 Peter, he comes to the end of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is it. We're to grow in Him. Each day, we're to let Christ be Lord of our lives. And he explains how that happens over in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. Add to your faith virtue. Add to that virtue. Add knowledge. Add love. Continue. This is what we're to do as followers of Christ. The Great Commission doesn't say, go forth and make converts. It says, go forth and make disciples.
Yeah.
And it is disciples. Again, I've said it. And I know I know I can repeat myself. I'm aware of that. But if only thing God was interested in, and you being saved, he would have taken you to heaven the moment after you accepted Christ as Savior. But as you said earlier, he's left us here, training ground, you know, the whole idea. But he's also left us here to demonstrate, to show forth the glory of God. He said, you be holy, for I am holy. He's left us here. And that holy, I've used it on purpose, hagios, part of sanctification, so that we will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Alex, that's the reason that dash is so important. What are we doing with it?
You know, let's talk about this. When we get saved, we're supposed to grow, you know, and live for the Lord. That's why God says, you know, be in church. That's why God says, you know, early will I seek thee, that we are to pray. And I just think it's valuable to start your day with the Lord early, you know, and before you rush into the busyness and the stresses of the day, to pray and meet with the Lord. Let's call it sanctification. That's what the Bible says. The state of continually being more and more conformed to the image of Christ, bearing the fruits of the Spirit, you know, we are growing in the Lord. All right. This is a beautiful thing. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, salvation, like we said, it's an event. You trust Jesus. You're born again. You're regenerated, converted, made alive, passed from death unto life. But then salvation, being a Christian, you know, there's becoming a Christian, and then there's being a Christian. Sanctification. And Bert, I think sometimes people wonder, well, how far can I live close to the edge and still be saved? I mean, the sad thing is, it's like I want enough of Jesus to keep me out of hell, but not so much that it messes up my plans for my life. That's not the way to think about it. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And you are to abstain from sexual immorality. Now, the word will, or the purposes, the desires of God, it's a variation of the word teleos, which means design or purpose. God wills, God desires that every believer pursue and live in a state of sanctification. But let me just unpack this word a little bit, Bert. The word will of God, that we bear fruit, we grow. All right, one variant of that word is best offer. Now think about this. The best favor God can do you, the best offer, the most valuable, most worthwhile thing God can invite you to is sanctification. Isn't that something? So to clean up your life, live for the Lord, get out of the world, be in church, serve, give, grow, pray, learn. This is not burdensome. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the best God could offer you. Sanctification. Bert, I think we need to view sanctification as the great priceless gift that it is.
Amen, Alex. Now, here's the key. Jesus said, I am going to go away, but for those of you who are following me, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete. Now, we've talked about that earlier last week, and we're not going to go back over that, but he has not left us here to become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ on our own. He has sent his sweet Holy Spirit to work in us. Now, part of that ministry of the Holy Spirit is convicting us when we choose wrong, when we look and go the wrong way, and he does do that. So we have the Holy Spirit within us, working in us a far greater work. Now, it only comes through that relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am going to go away. But then he said, I want to tell you, you're going to do greater things than this. In other words, the Holy Spirit in us doing that work, and that work that he does in us is sanctification, Alex. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to have us conformed to the image of Christ, to be more like him, and to share others with others this good news of Jesus Christ. And listen, the Bible, and you use this all the time, be ready to give an answer. When people ask you of the faith that's in you, be ready to answer that. Why would they ask you that? It's because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the sanctification in our lives. The Bible says that when we came to Christ, we don't run with the same excess as we did before. Some things have changed. You're a new creature. The old has passed, the new has come. And that is sanctification. Now, Alex, we could spend the rest of the time on sanctification, and we may come back to it. But let's get to glorification. We haven't spent as much time on this, although the songs that we sing and the one that introduced us, I can only imagine, is about that glorification when we're with Christ. Let me give a verse of Scripture, and I think it is a great one. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:54, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality. Then will be brought about the saying, O grave, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Listen, Alex, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible makes it plain that the grave is not the end. It's not the end for the believer. We're with the Lord. Our body may be there, but our soul immediately goes to be with the Lord. And it is glorification. And then one day we're going to receive a glorified body, which John says, which is likened unto our Savior's body. So, Alex, listen, the reward is out of this world. And that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. He said, man, yeah, the time of my departure is at hand. But guess what? I've got something far better waiting on me. Alex,
amen.
That glorification, that new body, being with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is real, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, we don't completely understand what it means. The word D-O-X-O, doxo, or doxa, is the word for glory. You know, if you, maybe in church you sing the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We give glory and honor and praise to God. But one day we are going to get a glorified body. Now, it doesn't mean that we turn into God. We don't. Even the redeemed in heaven and the angels never turn into God. God is God. His creation is different from the Creator. And we don't turn into angels either. I think I want to be clear about that. I've done funerals and people say, well, you know, so-and-so, I guess God needed one more angel. No. The amount of angels created is finite. There are not more angels being created right now, as I understand Scripture.
That's right. I agree.
What glorification means, though, is that you will get, as Paul said, the mortal will put on immortality. No doubt you've, and I've done it too, used these scriptures in funerals, that our earthly tabernacle is going to be dissolved. In other words, this body. But one of the unique things, yet another unique part of the Christian worldview is, folks, you will always be you. You know, your personality, your personhood, your identity is not gone at the moment of death. In heaven or hell, you will be you. Now, the question is, will it be a redeemed, glorified you, or will it be a condemned, everlastingly separated from God you? That's why Christianity emphasizes the redemption and the growth of the person. Isn't that something? And one of the reasons, Bert, I think that we need to love others, in fact, Matthew 25 and Colossians 3 talks about doing what we do as unto the Lord. We need to be respectful, show love to our neighbor and those around us, because listen, this person, well, I'm going to put it this way. It's like C.S. Lewis said. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, W-E-I-G-H-T, The Weight of Glory, he said, look, there are no ordinary people. There is no such thing as, quote, a mere mortal. Every person that you interact with is a living soul, and as C.S. Lewis said, they will either be one day an everlasting horror or an indescribable splendor.
Mm.
You know, because we're going to be in heaven and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, and you'll get this immortal, glorified body. Now, I don't know completely all that that will entail, but it, as the songwriter said, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him.
Amen, Alex. Let me read, and we're coming to the conclusion of this segment. We're going to take phone calls. That number is 888-589-8840. But listen to Romans 8, 18, 19, and 23. Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God." Now, verse 23, listen to this. "And not only they, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, grown within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption." Now, listen to this last phrase, "the redemption of our body." Do you know Christ is Savior? I pray you do. If you don't, would you trust him today? We're going to take phone calls. We'd love to hear from you today.
The 2024 Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge is a great way to teach children and youth between 7 and 17 to lead a life that honors God. Just have them write a 3 to 5 minute speech on the topic, "Why are the Ten Commandments important?" Then use your cell phone or other means to record them reading the speech and submit it by June 30th. Find out all the details and upload your recording at afr.net/Ten Commandments. That's afr.net/Ten Commandments.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper.
And I'm Bert.
If you're a pastor's wife, you know both the blessings and the unique challenges that come with the life you and your husband live daily. We call it living in the fishbowl.
The 2024 Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 22nd through 24th. This year's retreat will be at Pickwick Landing State Park in Counts, Tennessee. As always, the Fishbowl Retreat is hosted by Pastor Bert Harper of American Family Radio and his wife Jan. Our special speaker will be Dr. Ray Pritchard, co-host of today's issues on AFR, and his wife Marlene. Registration is open now and space is limited. Your registration fee of $400 per couple covers lodging, meals, and materials. Come get some much-needed encouragement at the Fishbowl Retreat. Learn more and register at repairingthefoundations.net. That's repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The book of Proverbs is one that flows with abundant insight for wisdom. It shows that one of the most prominent qualities of wise people is that they welcome and even celebrate life-giving correction. In today's world, overrun by cultural Marxism, there is much discussion as to what segments of our society hate themselves. Well, Proverbs gives the answer. He who rejects life-giving correction despises himself. The truest demonstration of self-hatred is revealed by knuckleheads who refuse to humble themselves and embrace life-giving correction. Loving rebuke saves lives. Correction displays love.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13.
American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
We're hoping your victory is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. We do have some awesome music that brings us in, and you need to listen to all of them. We don't have time to play all of them, but we played one yesterday. I should say Brent played it yesterday, yes. Alex. It was in our opening, our third segment, and we had people on Facebook saying, what's the name of that song? And Brent, yes. I want you to give an update of how Facebook is doing, but also the name of that song, and so people can know that.
Facebook is basically blowing up. It is awesome. We have a huge Facebook. I call it family. Right Amen. Now, we're at 8,768 followers.
Amen. Keep wow. growing.
I'm hey, hoping like to us. Get to 10.
We're headed that way. So share it with others, and they might like it too.
The song Amen. You were talking about was by Todd Smith from Selah. And it was called Calling All Fathers. It garnered a lot of interest yesterday whenever I played it. It was a really
and this
good
is
song.
Father's Day, so Calling yes. All Fathers. I want to listen to that. Okay. Thank you That's so great. Much, Brent.
Hey, Bert.
Yes.
We're going to go to calls. By the way, folks, the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We were talking about glorification, and before we, move off of that topic, I got to read a scripture. Is that okay?
Amen. Exploring the Word ought to always have time for the Bible. Go ahead, Alex, yes.
Revelation 21, beginning at verse 3,
yes.
regarding what awaits the believer. Listen to this. John the Apostle says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne," this is Jesus, "said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely."
Hallelujah.
To Ooh. God be the glory. Folks, Amen. Are you thirsty? Do you want to be right with God? Do you want to know that death, when it should come, you are prepared? Then right there, Revelation 21:6, whosoever will may come. You can call on Jesus, and your walk with Almighty God, the Savior who loves you, can begin today. And Amen. We hope it will.
Amen. Best thing apart of heaven, it's where Jesus is. And Amen. Wherever he is after death, I will be with him. If you know Christ, you're going to be with him. Praise God. Alex, let's go to the phone lines.
Arkansas, William in Arkansas. Thank you for holding, and welcome, William.
Yeah, I've got a question I want to ask you guys, and just tell me that it might be a possibility or no way in the universe that could be possible. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, is one, but yet are separate individuals. Could that mean something like the Bible says, when a man and woman marries, yet they are two, they become one? Is that a possibility or not? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Alex, the two becoming one is, it should be physically, obvious it is, but it also should be in a social, they shall become one, William. The Trinity, they are one. And I don't mean to show that distinction, but they are in that agreement in one. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy, William. And frankly, one of the reasons that the devil has attacked the family is because marriage is a picture of the Trinity. Marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. You know, a mother and a father and a child, that's a triune relationship. But a husband and a wife and the Lord,
amen.
You know, the minute you say I do and you take a spouse, there is a triune relationship there, God and the husband and the wife. Let me say it's like an analogy. Analogous means like, but not the same as. God is in a category of one. And Bert, I do think that there's so much of life that shows us God. You know, Romans chapter 1 talks about that from the created world, God is revealed. Psalm 19 says the same thing. But the husband and wife, they are individual, and yet they are united as one. And that is somewhat like the Trinity, but it's not identical, because I don't think there is any. People ask me, what is the best illustration of the Trinity? I don't think there is a perfect illustration, because God uniquely alone is God.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. But Randall in North Carolina. Randall, thanks for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. My thought on this sanctification stuff is Christ is literally in us, and you can do nothing but for me. And our mind should be in him and thinking with him. And I find that that makes it so much easier to apply the scripture when it's a real person coming through.
Amen. Through the person of the Holy Spirit, Randall, that is true, so true. And Jesus talked about, you know, the vine and the branches abiding. And the key word is abiding. Alex, that word abiding is so strong. And it's, receiving and giving, receiving and giving. And when Jesus Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit, is in our life, yes, it would be impossible without the Holy Spirit being in us, Alex. That's the whole thing. Yeah. We would never be conformed. We would never measure up without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
You know, Monday we're going to start Hebrews, and I want to encourage everybody to be with us. Hebrews is wonderful, but Hebrews 4:12 and following says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. This is amazing. And the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Bert, have you ever been reading the Bible, and while you're reading the Bible, you get under conviction?
Hey, it happens more than I want it to happen, Alex, I tell you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, Randall, you're right that God's Word is, well, it's living. The Word in the King James, Hebrews 4:12, quick. You know, an expectant mother can feel the baby in her body. They call it the quickening. Means alive. And yes, the Word of God is alive, and it will change your life if you allow it. Randall, thank you. We're going to go to Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel. Now, that's a Bible name for sure. Emmanuel in Kansas, welcome.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to touch on a thought. I believe it was concerning predestination and choice. And the thought I have is that maybe it's been, you know, brought out before. but the thought I have is concerning predestination and choice, perhaps in all of our lives, similar to a vehicle that's running on propane and sometimes runs on diesel. The thought I have is that you take, like, when Samuel, before Saul was anointed to be king, Samuel told Saul to go to such and such a place, and this and that and that the other's going to happen. And then he said, when these things happen, do as the occasion shall serve thee. Now, the things he told him that's going to happen, to me, those are things that are preordained of God. And then he's switching over to choice. He says, do as you may be led to do. Also, when you look at perhaps Joseph in the Bible, I believe he played along with the other children just as any normal child. But I believe that when he was put into the pit and when he ended up down in Egypt, I believe those were some things that were preordained of God, predestined in his life to happen. I see that also coming forth with Mary. I believe she was much like any other child, but I believe when the angel came and spoke to her, then there were things that were predestined in her life that were going to take place, even the Christ child being born. I see Joseph also, her husband, when he was mindful to put her away and do something that was not predestined, I believe the angel stepped in to bring him back on course to that which was predestined to God. So those are some of my thoughts.
Emmanuel, you've given us a Bible lesson, and it's a good one. And yes, here's the whole thing, what you just said, and Alex, comment on it, and we can go to the next call. But this is God's sovereignty, man's free will or responsibility, working together for the purpose of God to be brought about. I thought Emmanuel did a great Bible lesson teaching.
Amen. I would agree. Good words, good words. And maybe tomorrow during Fireway Friday, by the way, I have got an important question that came in this morning about transgenderism that I'm going to talk about tomorrow on Fireway Friday. But I want to try to get as many calls as we can in today. But Emmanuel, thank you. That's a good word. Mary in Tennessee, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I really appreciate what you guys do on your ministry on the radio there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to share about Father's Day. My experience, my father was the elder in our church, and I became to the Lord at a very young age. Through my life experience and things that happened, I ended up going through the foster care system and adopted, so I actually had a chance to have another father as well. And both of my fathers were believers, and my father taught me things like, you know, look somebody in the eye when you talk to them, and, you know, things like that, you know. A really strong work ethic, you know, importance of honesty, integrity, and that sort of thing. And I appreciate, you know, the father that I got at birth and the father I was given through adoption as well. So I just wanted to share that with Father's Day coming up and home, you know, and how God puts people in our lives.
Amen,
and directs our lives.
You blessed us today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God knew what he was doing when he gave us a family with a father and a mother. He knew what it was. And when that breaks down some way, it's awesome how God brings about the possibility of someone standing in that and being that father or mother figure that may not be there. And so, Mary, you've given a great illustration of that. Thank you, Mary.
Bless you, sister. Bob in Georgia. Bob, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks a bunch for y'all's ministry and sharing the word with everyone.
Well, bless you.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Go right ahead, brother.
I wanted to ask, I had the scripture written down in my pocket, but I wanted to ask a question about what I think is Galatians chapter 4, when Paul is talking about the allegory, the hidden meaning in the scripture where he's talking about the two covenants between Hagar and Sarah, how Sarah was the promise and Hagar was the slave woman, and how that still exists. And Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And I was just curious about your take on it. I kind of have an opinion and was wondering how that might apply also to what's happening in the Middle East today.
Hey, it's still occurring, that battle that was between Hagar and Sarah was real then. It's real today, isn't it, Alex?
Well, it really is.
It's not a laughing matter, but it is amazing how long it has lasted, is what I was thinking of.
Exactly. I mean, all of history is the battle between Isaac and Ishmael, isn't it, really?
It really is.
And, you know, when Paul, and you're right, sir, this is in Galatians 4:21 and following. The in verse 24, it says, such things are a symbol, an allegory. I mean, law is Mount Sinai, grace is Mount Calvary. And, you know, Old and New Covenant, Isaac was the child of promise born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. But through the line of Abraham would come another child of promise, the child Jesus. Now, the old covenant in faith, here's how they got saved. They, in faith, they looked to the Messiah that would one day come. Now, in faith, we look back at the Messiah that did come. Same Jesus, same Messiah, just living on two different sides of the cross. Wouldn't you agree, Bert?
It's fully that way. You're saved by grace through faith from Adam to the very end. Alex, you're exactly right.
Yes. Linda in Montana, where I was last week. Linda, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm sorry I missed you. I never thought of God as relational till about 10 years ago. I heard the concept of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It makes him a relational God, which is why he wants that relationship with us. But then I also heard that's how he designed the family, as father, mother, and children, in that same kind of triune relation.
Amen,
that
Linda.
The correct way?
Amen. Great, great thought. Alex, go ahead. It's true.
And you know what? The human being does not do well in solitude. Now, there's some times that we need a little space to be quiet and be alone, but we were made for relationships. And in fact, just too much isolation can be incredibly unhealthy. The Trinity, there is fellowship within the Trinity, and we were made for relationship and fellowship as well. And that the relationship of all relationships, it's with Christ the Lord, who loves each and every one of us.
Amen. Linda, thank you. And that is true. And we appreciate you way up in Montana. Justin from Alabama, sorry we could not get to you today. But
please
tomorrow,
try tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have Fire Away Friday tomorrow. Alex is going to start off with answering that question. And so you don't want to miss Exploring the Word tomorrow on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.